Good morning, everyone. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to understand the words of Jesus, and so we ask for the gift of your Spirit to illuminate them to us. Please be at work in our hearts and minds, Lord, forming us to be pleasing to you. Amen. I love this particular Bible passage. It's rich in promises from Jesus. And I hope that today it will refresh your desire for more of God, for pressing into relationship with him. The setting is the night before Jesus' crucifixion. He's with his closest disciples, his 11 apostles. Judas has just left to betray him. And Jesus speaks directly to them and gives them a promise which is ultimately for our benefit. He also gives an anyone type of promise. This is for all who follow Jesus in any country and down through the centuries. So it's a direct promise for us here today. These promises are our focus as we consider the Spirit of truth and the words of Jesus. Be helpful if you can have your Bible open at that reading we just heard from David, page 1082 in the Church Bibles. And this talk's divided into three sections. The middle one is the longest, and there's a talk outline, I think, on page 4 of the notice sheet. So, firstly, obeying Jesus' commands equals loving Jesus. This Bible passage is full of the word love. I counted it at least 9 times. Jesus is teaching about our love for him and God the Father's love for people who love Jesus. Jesus places love for him as central in the Christian life. Love for Jesus is an aspect of believing in him. Loving Jesus is part of putting your faith in him. And Jesus makes the strong link between loving him and obeying his words. It's there in verse 21 if you'd like to look with me. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. In verse 24, Jesus states it the other way around. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. So love of Jesus is demonstrated by our obedience to his commands. Now let's be clear, Jesus isn't talking about romantic love here. It's more to do with, I think, loyalty is perhaps the best way to understand it. The word love can be used in many ways. And in the Greek language of the time when the New Testament was written, there were 4 different words which are all translated into English as love. So they had 4 words, we've only got 1. So 4 different meanings, a much wider range of meaning than our English word love. And here the Greek word is agape. Agape love refers to esteem and affection for another person. And it can be used to describe love between friends. If we love Jesus, if we hold him in high esteem, if we have affection for him, we will demonstrate this in obeying his commandments. And with this comes a wonderful promise for those who love and obey. And we're going to come to that a bit later on in this talk. But before that, this statement from Jesus raises a question. Have a look at verse 21 again. Whoever has my commands and obeys them is the one who loves me. So we cannot obey Jesus if we don't have his commandments in the first place. We don't just know them because we're born as human being. We don't just get them from living life. They need to come from a source. And the question is, and this is my question for today, here it is on the screen. How can we be confident that the commands attributed to Jesus in the New Testament are really his words? Important question. Many people in British society would have this question, perhaps not framed exactly like that, but in a similar kind of way. How do we know that the New Testament is really authentic or really connected with Jesus? And the answer is because of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And let me explain that for the next few minutes. We've got Bibles here in church, and you may have John's Gospel on a device, maybe on your phone as an app. The New Testament is where we have Jesus' words. And let me explain why this bit of Jesus' teaching gives us confidence that they really are his words authentically. The first hearers of the teaching we heard in the Bible reading were Jesus' apostles. He made promises that are specific to them in this passage. So he said to them in verse 15, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." He's saying that directly to the apostles. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. On that night before his crucifixions, the apostles didn't understand what was going on. Jesus had said that he was about to leave them, and they were downhearted about this. They didn't really understand where he was going, and they didn't want him to go either. At that moment of discouragement, Jesus promised to send them another person who would help them. He called him the Spirit of Truth, the Counselor. Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit, who came down on the apostles just a few weeks later on the day of Pentecost. And this was marked by the extraordinary event of tongues of fire coming down and resting upon them. The Spirit enabled them to proclaim God's praise and the gospel in languages which they'd never learnt, in foreign tongues. And he gave the Holy Spirit two descriptive titles in verse 16, another counselor and the Spirit of truth. Now the word counselor here in our English Bible translates the Greek word paraclete. And it is a difficult word to translate into English. Indeed, Leon Morris states that it is impossible to find one English word that covers all that paraclete means. At the time when John's Gospel was written, this descriptive word was used to refer to someone who came to help you in a legal situation. So this is important. Paraclete doesn't mean counselor in the modern sense of a therapist. We need to put that out of our minds. Rather, it means a helper who supports you in a time of trial, one who gives you the right words to say and speaks on your behalf. In one translation of the New Testament, the word paraclete is translated advocate. And according to a Bible commentator called Plummer, the Holy Spirit is here described as one who suggests true reasoning in our minds and true courses for our lives. So advocate, counselor, helper, Spirit of truth. The use of the word another indicates that the Spirit is in place of Jesus, continuing Jesus' work. Jesus was a counselor, advocate, and helper for the disciples. So they're concerned that he's leaving them, but actually he's saying he's going to come back to them so they don't need to worry. He's reassuring them the night before his crucifixion. Then verses 25 and 26 show why this is such good news for us today. Please look with me. "All this I've spoken while still with you, but the counsel of the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Now remember, if we're to obey Jesus, we need access to his commandments. And this promise from Jesus to the apostles encourages us that they genuinely had Jesus' words and have therefore been able to pass them on to us in the New Testament. This is a promise to the apostles, but it's for our benefit. Just look at the details of that promise again. All this I've spoken while still with you, the you being the apostles. But the counsel of the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you, the apostles, all things, and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit's going to do two things for the apostles: teach them all things and remind them of everything that Jesus had already taught to them. So Jesus' teaching ministry will continue after he's ascended up to heaven through the Spirit of truth, working through the apostles. This encourages us that if we can get hold of the apostles' teaching, we can really get hold of Jesus' commandments. The Holy Spirit will remind them of all the things that Jesus taught them when he was with them on earth. It's a great encouragement. We could easily think that as the years went on, the apostles would forget or confuse Jesus' teaching. We might worry that they misremembered his commands or that they got things muddled up. But no, Jesus' promise to send the Holy Spirit as a helper is a great encouragement. He's going to refresh their memories so that they get it right, reminding them of everything that Jesus had said to them. Jesus calls him the Spirit of Truth. So the Holy Spirit's deeply concerned about truth. He loves the truth. And therefore, he's like Jesus, who declared in chapter 14, just earlier in verse 6, "I am the truth," says Jesus. So the Holy Spirit's like him. All this encourages us that as we study the apostles' teaching, we get the real words of Jesus, not something half-baked or half-remembered, but the authentic voice of Jesus. Originally, the apostles passed on Jesus' commands verbally, through preaching and in conversation. And the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, as we read about in the book of Acts. As time went on, Jesus' teaching and the events of his life were written down by various people. And the basis of selection for the 27 documents that make up the New Testament is that they contain the teaching of the eyewitness apostles. So where do we find Jesus' words in order to obey them? We find them in the apostles' teaching in the New Testament. And this is one reason why the Bible is such a precious book, which is loved and valued by so many today. It's why it's at the center of our life as a community, as followers of Jesus. It's why we cherish it and read it at home on our own. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. And this gives us confidence that we can really know Jesus' words through the Bible. Therefore, a sign of our love for Jesus will be a desire to study the New Testament, to know his commands, and to put them into practice. As I said earlier, we don't get his commandments just because we're human beings. They need to be put inside us. We have to get them from somewhere, and the New Testament is the place that they come from. Well, we began with Jesus' instruction that those who love him will keep his commands. Obedience naturally flows out of love. Well, we return to this for my third and final point for today. And it is perhaps the best bit of teaching in this sermon. A promise for those who love Jesus. And that promise is that we will receive union with God, Father and Son, through the Spirit. Please have a look with me at verse 23. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." This is a truly staggering statement. It's an anyone promise, so it's a promise for us. Jesus is putting himself on a level with God, God the Father. He speaks about the time after his ascension to heaven when he and the Father together will come and live with people who love Jesus. So we have the promise that if we love Jesus, he will come and dwell with us, make his home with us. What a wonderful thing to say. It's on verses like this that the Christian understanding of God as Trinity is built. God the Father and God the Son, equal status, will come and dwell with people, and they'll come in the person of the Spirit of Truth. It's a staggering claim for a human being to make. If it isn't true, Jesus was a terrible liar or fantasist. Feel the weight of this promise and feel the wonder of it. It's an invitation to people from all places and all races. Anyone, it's wonderfully inclusive. In the giving of the Holy Spirit, the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, comes and dwells with us and in us. So I wonder if you ever feel homeless. If you do, then this is a wonderful promise, particularly for you. It's a wonderful promise for those who are literally without a home, be it from displacement through war, or being orphaned, or widowed, or divorced. It's a wonderful promise to us when we feel homeless psychologically because of the difficulties that life presents to us, or because of the inner yearning that many feel for a more connected, more peaceful, and more fulfilling experience. Many feel that life is incomplete and they yearn for more. So they move house, or they start a new hobby, or they get a new job, or they seek a new sexual partner. Whatever it is, they seek something new to try and make life feel complete. Jesus says here that home is given by God coming and dwelling with us. We will come and make our home with him, says Jesus. At the beginning of chapter 14, Jesus said to the apostles that he was going to prepare a home for them in his Father's house. In my Father's house are many rooms, many dwellings, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. This is a promise of the fullness of eternal life in the life to come, the renewed heaven and earth. At the end of the Bible, we're left with a similar God-centered vision, God living with us, in the book of Revelation. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. So we have here the future promise of a home beyond this life. And home is such a powerful word, isn't it? Full of meaning and feelings. And it's saying that life beyond this life isn't some disconnected experience, but all that feeling of the goodness of home, we should take into our thinking about that. Home beyond this life, where we'll live with God in his majestic and glorious presence. But in today's Bible passage, we have a promise of union with God now, union with the triune God, Father and Son by the Spirit. This is a promise of being united in relationship with the creator of the universe, the source of our world. These are incredible things that we're thinking about this morning. This verse is worthy of reflection and prayer. It's worth memorizing a promise like this. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. John chapter 14, verse 23. So let me conclude. Jesus declared that the first and most important commandment from God is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. With the coming of Jesus, the Son of God, we see that the way to love God is now particularly focused on loving Jesus and obeying his commandments. So love Jesus and his commandments with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. This is the way to love God. Love for Jesus is an essential part of faith. Obedience to Jesus is evidence of our love. And the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, gives us confidence that we really do have Jesus' words, his commandments in the New Testament. We have this wonderful Trinitarian promise that God will dwell with us. So seek God, seek more of God, press into relationship with him. And the way to do this is by loving and obeying Jesus Christ. Let's have a moment of quiet for you to reflect and to pray, and then I'll lead us in a prayer together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we declare that we want to love your Son, Jesus Christ. Please increase our desire to keep his commands. Help us to live by them and to put them into practice. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Thank you that through him we can have confidence that we really have Jesus' words in the New Testament. And we ask that you come and make your home in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.